World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, thanks for joining us this morning. And man, I get up, you know, when those lights go on and my mind gets racing. Oh boy, where we are and what's going on, and really do we really understand what we're dealing with? And I just appreciate all of you coming here every expansion under the Patriot Party news. Every day we're there. Brighteon now, we're there every day live on Brighteon. And I want you to know this about, I couldn't care less about building an audience to be somebody important or somebody famous. I'm just telling you, I couldn't care less about that. I still, right here where I go, where I live my life, I go around, wear my cross out around. People don't have any idea what we do here. They have no idea. And I like it that way. I still have that anonymity here. And I'm not trying to sound like I'm important, but I would encourage all of you to try to, the truth that comes out here is, it's like nothing that we're getting anyplace else. The ability to chew on it and spit it out and take what you want and run with it and bury what you don't want to run with it. And I don't know where there are very many open forums like this. And I just would encourage you to, I don't know how you do it, right? Because the last thing from my perspective, when people say, hey, Coach Dave, you got to watch this guy. It immediately turns me off. I think, why do I want to watch this guy? What do you mean watch this guy? I don't know anything about this guy. And so when you go out and you say to people, hey, man, you got to tune into Coach Dave Live. See, if we make it about me, Coach Dave Live, we miss the whole point. Joe shows up and it's that's not what it's about. It's about information. It's slide over here a little bit. It's about information and what we do with the information and how it advances the kingdom and all that kind of stuff. And we had Mark Trump on here in the pre-show, and Mark is into all this cybersecurity and cyber stuff and what's really going on behind the scenes. And most of us who go about living our daily lives and working our jobs, we really have no understanding. We really don't have any understanding of what it is that we're dealing with artificial intelligence and all that stuff. So when you get to be my age, 71 years old, I'm an old guy. Sometimes I don't even know how to do my cell phone, right? Hey, let me slide a little farther, Joe. So I don't even know how to do my cell phone sometimes, right? So when people start talking about artificial intelligence and they're doing this and this connection and all that kind of stuff, my head just starts spinning, right? So why do I even need to know any of that? Well, I need to know that kind of stuff because why? Because my children and my grandchildren are growing up in this world, right? And what is supposed to be our response? See, look, we got so far behind. We can talk about the culture and society and all that stuff. Hang on a second. Lord, just pray that the words of our lip,
amen,
and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight,
amen,
Lord, in Jesus'
amen
name. And so we grow up in a, my grandchildren are growing up in a world that I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't even imagine that when I was growing up, you know, pornography. You ever heard of pornography back when, you know, 50 years ago, six, no, that wasn't. Now it's available. It's everywhere. And AI and all this stuff. We don't have any idea the degree to which we're all being programmed and don't even understand that it's gone on all around us. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. Weapons of our warfare, not carnal, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do we even know what that means? What are those strongholds? What are those evil forces? How do we engage them? What do we do with them? Do they affect us now? Do I just sit around and pray for the rapture? Do I just get out of here, pray for the end of the days? What is it I'm supposed to do? Because I'm here now with real flesh and blood grandchildren and real flesh and blood friends that are being impacted by everything that's going on around us. Now, we know that life is but a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. Gone where? Where? What happens? What is there? Is all this AI and all this stuff's going on, is it impacting the average everyday guy that I run into on the street that wouldn't know Jesus if he sat down on his lap? Is it? And we have religion and religiosity and seem to have no other than personal salvation. The salt of the earth's gone. The church has no influence. I was going to pull up here for me real quickly. I want to make it really clear. I'm not a Republican. Okay. The Washington, this comes out today. Now, the Republican Party in the party platform no longer has a pro-life. There's no longer a pro-life in the Republican Party now. Hang on, folks. There hasn't been for years. It's all been a facade, right? I mean, that really, they're really not pro-life, right? And so now, say what you want to about Trump. Well, he's head of the GOP platform, and they pull out all the pro-life. Pull up B is another one. Another article on the exact same thing. And so what does that do for a guy like me, who this is really, really a critical issue? Does it really matter? Will God, in fact, judge us for slaughtering unborn children? Will he judge me for knowing that it's gone on and not saying anything about it? I think that's why I do this show every day. Working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Am I supposed to ignore this? Am I my brother's keeper? Right? Should I allow this to go into my neighbor's child? Or is it Christianity just about me and my own personal salvation and my own joy and my own happiness? Or are we literally supposed to be the salt of the earth and light of the world? What does that look like? And how does it sound? What do you do with it? And for the most part, my experience, maybe not yours. Hey, real quickly, Spencer, see if you can pull up for me the top 10 churches in America. Folks, you're going to be staggering. I saw a meme on that the other day. The number of people who would go to Joel Osteen was only like fifth. He was only like fifth. Look at this. Here's a list of top 10 churches in America. Lutheran Church of Hope in Des Moines, Iowa. Average attendance, 10,000. Sarang Community Church of Southern California, 11,000. St. Anne's, 30,000 registered parishioners. St. Matthew's Catholic Church, 36,000. North Point Community Church in Georgia, 20,000. Willow Creek, 20,000. Saddleback Rick Warren, Saddleback Church, 20,000. Gateway Church in Southland, Texas, 20,000. Christ Fellowship, Miami. Elevation Church in Charlotte, 20,000. Folks, how can the salt have lost its savor with so many people inside a salt shaker? That's what I deal with in my life every day. I'm just telling you, I'm consumed by it. The idea, again, as an old football coach, we look at all these guys we got on the team, all these people on the team, and yet almost no impact in the culture and in society. And because of that, Christianity turned from the salt of the earth to the sugar of the earth, where they said, okay, let's make it personal Christianity. Life enhancement Christianity, feel good Christianity. And that's what those churches you just saw for the most part, right? So we see the Supreme Court 2 years ago overturns the right to an abortion, and the church doesn't peep. That doesn't matter. Are we supposed to be involved in politics? Does the Lord care about unborn children? Do unborn children, the average person would say, well, coach, they just go straight to heaven anyway. Is that true? Where'd you hear that, right? And so all of this stuff is what drives me, because my children and grandchildren are going to live. I'm going to pop out of here at some point. I'm going to be gone. And my children and my grandchildren in particular, they're going to have to live and fight in this world that I'm leaving them. Doesn't that bother you, friends? Doesn't that bother you? And the idea of Republicans are good and Democrats are bad. Come on, you're beyond that one, aren't you? You're beyond that one. There's almost no impact at all politically about what goes on in Washington, D.C. And everything's coming local. And what are we going to do local? How do you spread the gospel locally? Invite them to your church, or do you have to go out and get them? What is it we're supposed to be? So there's a lot of good stuff that's going on. As we see Bible being put back in Oklahoma and Louisiana, Ten Commandments being posted, that's all good. It's a start, but that's not the end all of it. And it's going to, we're going to come find ourselves in a great, great conflict, which we're already in, because the Luciferians, they're not going to give up without a fight. They're not just going to hand the public school system back over to it. They're not going to hand the medical system back over to it. They're not going to release all this stuff back in it. And again, not about me. I was looking today, sorry for the rant, stay with me a second. I was looking at, you know, new pandemic coming, right? New one coming now. Yellow fever or whatever, something else, bubonic plague, something coming, one after another, after another, after another. Why? Well, he's the author of confusion. He's the author of death. He hates the seed of the woman. And so that at the end of the day, that's the battle that's being fought. How old are you?
76.
So he's 76. How long you got left?
At least 20 years.
Okay, so he's got 20 left, right? Whatever. Whatever it would be, what are you going to do with that? What a time to be alive. See? Because never in our life, in our lifetime, I'm 71, has the two sides been more apparent to anybody who has eyes to see. Always before, maybe the devil was a little bit more subtle and, you know, he was working behind the scenes. Now, man, it's smack dab in your face, in control of the culture, the media, every aspect of it. And we have to ask ourselves, what's our role here? Is it really? Are you banking on being raptured out of here and pulled out of this mess? And if you are, what about your grandchildren? What about your children that aren't saved? You say, I'm praying for Jesus to come. I'm like, oh, if the Lord would come tonight, it'd be great with me. Well, good. A lot of people around you ain't going to be great for it, right? And our action does not meet what we say we believe. And so that's what motivates me. And that's what drives me. And I look at, you know, the abortion thing, which I pulled up there. Well, hey, you know what? Here's what Donald Trump and the Republican Party said. People don't care about abortion. They don't care about it. And it's a divisive. And so we're not going to stand on any principle on it. We're just not going to. Because people don't care. What do you mean they don't care? Well, in Ohio, the Supreme Court of the United States said no right to an abortion. It's a state's right, which is crazy. It's not right. And it goes to the state of Ohio. What does Ohio vote? Ohio votes to legalize abortion. So the guys in Washington, D.C., hell, I'm not going to fight that. Why would I do it? Why would I do that? It's a divisive issue. So it shows their real agenda. And as I've said over and over, when I go to the ballot box, I vote for life. Because if I allow them to kill me, women, if I allow them to kill my offspring, you're next, dude. If they can get those little babies, they can get the old folks too, especially with Social Security being broke and all that kind of stuff and all those old people sucking in all the Medicare, Medicaid. Maybe we could send a pandemic called COVID, make everybody wear masks and kill off all those old people. We could get rid of a lot of them, and that would really soften our Social Security budget and all that stuff. But folks, a lot of that kind of stuff is what's going on. And so it's only going to get worse and worse and worse because why? The devil hates the seed of the woman. He hates it. And until we understand that that's the conflict that's going on, all this political stuff is not going to make sense. And again, I'm going to come back. I'll be done this monologue here in just a second. John F. Kennedy, the night before they killed him, he stood and made a speech in Dallas, Texas, where he said that we had to worry not about invasion, but infiltration. And look around, look at the infiltration of the demonic into every aspect of our lives, wherever we go now, compared to what it was in 1963. How did that happen? Salt lost his savor. So the church tries to become relevant. The culture is so far gone that the church tries to become relevant and say, come here and get yourself a little bit of Jesus, and then you'll be happy and slappy and you'll have money and everything will be good. And so that's what they sell, to the point where there are 30,000 people in churches, one church. How could you possibly know the pastor in the 30,000 person church? Anyway, point being what? They've infiltrated and they've taken over Christianity. Not what it used to. I don't even know what it is. I mean, you know what it is?
No.
I mean, really, what is it? What is Christianity? Say, I'm a Christian. What does that mean? What does it mean? And if you ask 10 different people, you probably get 10 different responses. Or as I've said here before, what is it Christians do? What do they do? So my brother Joe, who joined me again here today, Joe, you said, well, I'm going to go take Christianity to
Faraway lands.
I give up on that America. I go to faraway lands. As you look back over your life, would you go to faraway lands when there's so much of a need here?
When I was a young Christian, I was reading these missionary biographies, Hudson Taylor and his company, his contemporaries. And I got really a burden for souls, for people, for the unreached. And it's not a special calling. It's just something I opened myself to by reading And then 20 years later, that burden, that prayer, that longing, the Lord led us, my wife and I, abroad in the gospel. And so we're just carrying out our daily leading of the Spirit. I don't think too much about how to change the world, how to deal with the infiltration, other than that, which is going on in my own heart and in my own family, the ones that are closest to me that I know their situation and can impact. I admire David's work of a social conscience, a social gospel, looking to right many wrongs. But it's beyond my burden. It's beyond my scope of activity. But I do love the Lord. And I am reminded as he's speaking of the Lord Jesus talked about the parable of the mustard seed,
mm-hmm.
how the mustard seed is supposed to produce the most tender little plant of a mustard seed. But it's become morphed into a mustard tree so big that the birds of the air can come and lodge in it.
Wow, yeah.
And this rendering of that parable means that the mustard seed has been infiltrated and has been transmogrified and has become a great tree, and this is the Christianity of the world today. And the birds of the air, obviously, are the same birds that took away the seed that the sower sowed in the parable of the sower. These birds are the evil spirits and the evil influences lodging in Christendom.
Mm.
Christendom.
Well, Mel just made a comment there. Very good, Mel. She says, politics is the leaves on the tree. The root is a spiritual war. That's well said. That's well said. I want to shift gears real quickly because I don't want to forget this real quick. Pull up J6. Folks, I want you to see what we're dealing with here. Spencer, it's a standalone Jew. I don't even know if you saw this. No, I'm sure you didn't see this. Is that what it is? Yeah. Look, folks. Here's what the Luciferian media has done. This is how old this is. 2000 says right there at the bottom. I can't. My eyes aren't any good. Right there, 2000. There you go, dude. 2021. So this is 3 years ago. These are guys. We went to Washington D.C. Right. So, folks, this is what we're dealing with. This is the Luciferian. This is Vice, which is certainly not a really good thing. This is a whole article that they did 3 years ago on us.
On you?
On us, yeah. They're talking about me. They're talking about Chad Estes. Talking about Coach Dave doing this. Clay Parker, you scroll on down through there.
They're not too happy with you.
No, they don't like me. Because, at some point, they say, we make the idea that a coup's been taking place in America. Meaning, what? There's old Clay. That the coup being, Christ has been booted out, right? He was the king. Play that a second here. See, that's me January 6th. So this is, folks, this is what the Luciferians want you to think about us, right? I'm a zealot. Why would anybody want to be around that guy? He's a fool. If you do that, he's going to get you in trouble. Just, members of the Salt and Light Brigade at the Capitol riot. See, they called it a riot. It wasn't a riot. Just real quickly play that. Wait a minute, hang on. Dobbenmeyer's also propagated conspiracy theories. He's questioned whether millions of Jews died. I didn't do that. And that the coronavirus is a reaction to 5G. So here it is. Two minutes, 3 seconds. They got this someplace and played it. Maybe we made this video. Anyway, they showed it and took it out of context. And
folks, we're sitting up here on the steps of the U.S. Capitol. And I don't want to act like I'm brave or anything because I didn't have anything to do with this. There's some brave patriots that somewhere along the line stormed the gates. They stormed the castle and they broke into the U.S. Capitol. And then from what we understand on reports we're hearing, they've actually made their way inside the chambers of where the Senate and the House are here. And I don't know that to be true, but that's what we hear. But we are now gathered with, I don't know, there's thousands of people who we've breached the steps. I'm sitting on the steps right now at the Capitol. And nobody knows what's going to happen now. I don't know what's going to happen. I was trying to tell all of our guys, we spent about 4 hours down at the bottom of the hill listening to President Trump and some other speeches.
Okay, you can pull that down. You get the idea of it, right, folks? And look at this. Dobbenmeyer has also propagated conspiracy theories. He's questioned whether millions of Jews died. He said the coronavirus is a reaction to 5G. Dobbenmeyer, who is white, has wondered aloud whether the U.S. has benefited from accepting interracial marriage. None of that stuff is true, see, folks. But what they want to do is they do all that so you make sure you don't listen. You better not be listening because look what, huh, right? And so this is what we're up against because they seize control of all of the media. And sadly, guys on our side think all that stuff's true. So I look, I could go a million different directions. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. See, Joe's in a little different position because he's not here. He's over.
Far away.
He's over in the Middle East, right? He's in the middle. He's not here. The everyday activities that we see going on in the United States of America, Republicans selling us out, churches selling us out. Unbelievably crazy stuff, cutting off the penises of little boys, giving them hormone blockers and the promotion of, he doesn't see all that because, so I do. And I said, am I just going to, 71 years old, am I just going to sit around there and suck on my thumb and watch it go on? Or am I going to try to stand up and push back against it? Because David and Macy and Mia and all my grandchildren, they're going to have to live in this society. And it says in the scripture that we make our children a prey. If we allow the Luciferians to be in charge, we make our children a prey. And I don't want my children to have to suffer through it. Jeff Nears, come on in, Jeff.
Good morning, sirs. Hey, I just wanted to say that what he was talking about earlier, you know, I've spent 35 plus years going to China, lived there for a long time, different parts of Asia, Japan, South Korea, and so on. And what I always find, and I wanted to see if Joe finds the same thing, is that all the Christians I talk to over there and in the underground and in villages and so on, they all want to send missionaries to America because they think that it's just, you know, if America goes down, oh my, we need to evangelize America. Have you found that as well?
The response to that is we met a group of Christians in the country where I serve who belong to a fellowship called Hebron Fellowship. Hebron Fellowship. And the leader of that wonderful fellowship's name was Bhakt Singh. Bhakt Singh. And he responded to your question by saying the Americans and the people in the West feel sympathy and pity for the Indians who are so poor financially. But he said, we have sympathy and pity for you because you are so poor spiritually.
Wow.
Correct.
And I think there's a lot of reality in
that. Well, that's the reality. When we send people overseas to do mission trips, it's because we see how poor they are, isn't it? Really? We don't see the spiritual degradation. We see the fact that they don't have hamburgers and hot dogs and nice cars.
Yeah.
And so therefore, man, they need the gospel so they can have hamburgers and hot dogs and nice cars. And if they could just get Americanized. So it's, again, it's been infiltrated. More
and I tell you, they can outpray us. You know, they can outworship us. It's unbelievable when you go over and if you ever get a chance to do any kind of mission trip out there, people do it.
Amen. 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 So come on in if you want to. Otherwise, I want to take us a different direction. I want to talk about something, how we got in the mess that we're in. Joe, what I try to do here is I try to mix the culture, the gospel, and the culture and say, why isn't this happening?
Why
isn't that happening? Okay. Why isn't that? We're the salt of the earth. Why isn't that happening, right?
Someone's got to point that out.
Somebody has to point it out.
I admire what you're doing.
Well, thanks. Because they hate me.
Well,
but the
love
Bible
you.
Says, I'll be hated of all men, and right. I'm one of those. Both sides sometimes do, right? Because I call out our own team. When I go into the locker room, I don't go into the locker room and talk about the other team. I go in there and talk about our team. We're not winning because you're not doing this, right? I don't say, oh, boy, they got that great fullback over there. We just roll over and anything we can do. We just pray that nobody gets hurt. That's all we can do. And the game will be over and we'll be out of here. And that's really kind of the mentality of American Christianity.
Well said.
They got that big fullback. He's going to run right over the top of us. Just lay down and the game will be over and we'll be out of here. And that goes against every vein in my body. Mm-hmm. As you said yesterday, you nailed it yesterday. I was this little guy playing with my big brothers all the time. I had to play up, man. I had to play up. I couldn't play. I'd dominate the 8-year-olds because I was as good as the 12-year-olds, right? Because I was playing with the 12-year-olds. Are we playing with 12-year-olds in Christianity? Are we still in the 8 league? Are we still in the bitty league? 8-year-olds, right? I want to play up. Anybody out there want to play up? I want to play up. I see some things going on that we need to do something about it. If our children and grandchildren are going to live in this Christian experiment that we've had. If not, then, you know, if it's all just over here in a few years, we're going to get nuked and we'll all be raptured out of here. Well, then I'll just go get a cigar and sit up on the porch and smoke and have a few beers and just wait for it to come. But that isn't in me. It isn't in me. Look, I would never go wherever he is. I would never go there. Why? It ain't my call. Now, maybe it is. Maybe it is my call. But I'm thinking, daggone, why would I go clean up Bahrain when Hebron such a mess, right? I would clean up Hebron before I go to Bahrain. No offense. You get what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Right? And so we are the bastion. The United States is the bastion of Christianity around the world, has been. Maybe not so much anymore. And man, I see that we're losing that. Anybody want to pity Joe? Anybody? Rochelle, come on in.
Yeah, just real quick, so you can move on to your next stuff. But when you talk about playing up, I'm very familiar with that. We had my daughters were in boys baseball, and when we tried to move them over to the girls, they had to play up because they were going to hurt people. Because this is what I found out, because I helped coach when they were little, is you get what you expect. You get what you expect. And I think that's also true of the church. You're going to get what you expect and what you put out. And, you know, I know that we don't like to harp on the churches all the time, but what's happening is these pastors don't expect anything from their congregation. So they're getting nothing.
They're not playing up. They're playing down, aren't they?
They sure are. And there's just one headline. I just want to read this to you. The headline says it all. Rich people freeze themselves and their fortunes for future revival. Mm. See, they're not counting on God. They're not counting on anything else but themselves to somehow get saved in the future. I'll drop that story in, because people actually believe they don't have any consequences to pay. They're inheriting this money, most of them, or they're getting it through, I'm going to say, very shady means. And then they think they can take it to the next life.
Mm. I think whether it was Joe or somebody made the comment, really, we're so spiritually poor. Oh, my Lord. America, the land of the plenty. Just you go places and you see how people absolutely blow money on meaningless, worthless stuff. Mm. Thinking that they're in good shape and they're just so spiritually dead. How did we get there? It happened, again, he's older than me. And so he went to college in 66.
Right.
I went to college in 71, 5 years difference. And the 5 year difference between 1966 and 1970, there was an earthquake there, wasn't it?
I wondered why your generation was abandoning the fight that I was fighting when I was 18.
Yeah. Amen. So there we are, right? Consequences of it. And so we have to then ask ourselves this. Is it an ever expanding kingdom?
No.
Thy kingdom come, thy will
be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Is in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your take on that?
I like Revelation chapter 12. Maybe it's too early to go there, but you see a kingdom in warfare with a woman, a bright universal woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And this doesn't represent Mary, as is commonly thought, but this represents the universal body of believers. And this woman is great with child, about to be delivered of a man-child. And this man-child represents the stronger part of the woman over the centuries that have come to the throne, that have come to the cross, that have become strong in the riches of our triune God, and about to be delivered, this overcoming man-child, about to be delivered. And before this scenario is a dragon standing, waiting to devour the child. And as soon as he comes forth, immediately he's caught up to heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
And immediately there's war in heaven. And the war in heaven is precipitated by the preparation of the man-child, which represents the corporate overcomers who have prevailed against all the societal ills, all the issues God's given them to fight. They've matured in life. They're a corporate entity, just as the body of Christ is. This is the remnant that God prepared for those who are faithful. And we all certainly can aspire to that. We can reach that, but we have to see it in the Holy Word. When this dragon comes to the third heaven to do war with the man-child, Michael and his angels are waiting on him.
Mm.
The man-child, the redeemed, regenerated, transformed humanity, gives the command. And the dragon and his angels war against Michael and his angels. The dragon is cast to the earth. And then begins the great tribulation. If you read this chapter 12 closely, you'll see it. And so the precipitating of the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of this age, is brought about by the preparation and rapture of the man-child. So the kingdoms that we are involved with are very serious, and I must focus on the invisible kingdom of our Lord and grow up into him in all things so that my heart can be included in a people that the Bible calls the overcomers standing on the sea of glass and the man-child standing before the throne of God. This is very spiritual and deep, but it's within our reach. If we desire, we can pursue and we can attain. So praise the Lord.
Amen. So again, it's
a hopeful gospel.
It's different perspectives, right? So I'm out there trying to protect those who aren't hearing the gospel, those who certainly are going to be in that sea of millions and billions and billions of people who never heard the gospel. I understand that. But we look at the American public schools, which was the bastion of Christianity throughout the world. And like I said yesterday, the mention of Jesus, not even there. The founder of Western civilization, which all time is it not even there. And so I sit back and see my heart for the lost is in a different aspect than his heart for the lost. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, my mom told me, right? So if we teach him the truth, maybe we'll have to rescue as many later on. So we have to work on both ends of this thing, right? And I just don't know. I just don't know if we are or not. So I want to shift gears real quick. Go to number 7, because I think this is all really, really kind of relevant. We were talking about it yesterday. You guys know out there, do you know what a kritocracy is? You know what a kritocracy is?
No.
Good. Good thing you tuned in today, Joe. A kritocracy, which is what we're living under right now. Can you pull that up, Spence, number 7? Kritocracy. I went to the encyclopedia meaning. Did you get it, dude? Are you awake, Spence? I need to punch you. It's something out there. I said, I can't get it. What? Can't you get it? It's number 7. Oh, no. Well, okay. So then just he said the link's broken. So just Google kritocracy then for me. Just Google that. Because this is where we are, folks. Wikipedia, that'd be, whatever. No, that's not, go back to the other one. Kritocracy. There it is, maybe try that. A kritocracy, as he can't find it, is, I can't believe we can't get this. It's government by judges. There it is, kritocracy. It was a system of rule by biblical judges in ancient Israel, started by Moses, according to the book of Exodus, before the establishment of a united monarchy under Saul. Because the name is a compound of the Greek word krites, which means judge, and to rule, its colloquial use has expanded to cover rule by judges. Now, I want you to stop and think about this. Every major decision that's going on in the United States of America, I don't know what it's like overseas, everything is controlled by who? Who's it controlled by, Vinny? Who's it controlled by? Come on, somebody.
Elected bureaucrats.
Judges. The courts say. And so what's happened then, you see the two political parties want to get into the courts, their guy. Why? Because all of the major decisions being made in America right now are being made by the courts. Do you get it? Do you understand? The rule of the people, government of the people, by the people, for the people, no longer exists in the United States of America. It no longer exists. Not Republican, not Democrat, none of that kind of stuff. So somewhere along the line, we lost sight of the fact that the Ten Commandments were the rules by which we were supposed to live. And they said, no, no, no. There's a separation between the church and state, 1947, Everson versus the Board of Education. They booted the Ten Commandments out. And we said, okay, judges are now in charge. Judges are in charge. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in. And so when you put judges in charge, and one's coming from a biblical worldview, and one's coming from an atheistic worldview, can two walk together lest they agree? How can we ever have a common, that was the whole idea in the public school system. When they started the public schools, they bought Bibles, and they instructed the kids in the Bible. Why? Because it was a common basis of morality. Everybody agreed the same things were right and the same things were wrong. And the purpose of the government was what? To reward the good and punish the bad. Well, what happened when the judges got in control? They changed the meanings of good and bad. See, good now is killing babies. Bad is opposing it. Our friends down in Tennessee who are facing 30 years in jail for showing up to protect an unborn baby, that's now bad. They're going to get 30 years in jail for protecting unborn babies. And judges say, oh, no, you can kill them. You can kill those unborn babies. And you want to protect. You understand? You understand how the flip-flopping of the morality happened when they kicked Christianity out. But see, that's why I remain optimistic, because I see, again, difference in perspective. I see the sun coming back up when the establishment of the Ten Commandments in Louisiana and the Bible back in Louisiana. I see some of this stuff as we take our eyes off the big picture and go locally, go to our local schools and try to get the Ten Commandments back in, go to our local schools and try to get the Bible reading back in, prayer back in. Can we rebuild this broken system from that? So that's my perspective. Joe's perspective may be, it's just all broken. We ain't ever going to fix it. Well, I'm the football coach. They hired me to do this job. My job is to rebuild the program. And so I'm trying to rebuild the program. It may be a lost cause, but that, are you with me? You guys understand what I'm saying? Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, you talk about the judges. Real quick, a couple of weeks ago, I was supposed to win that courthouse in small claims. Guy said I owed him $6,000. He sued me for $6,000. It was all bogus. So I get Tom Condit, Christian attorney. We work on this for a couple of weeks. I dug up all the paperwork. I dug up everything. I thought, how could this judge rule for him? I thought, this is bogus. So we spend a lot of time, cost me money with Tom Condit. Week before we go to end the court, and the guy told Tom on the phone, he said, well, I'm a Christian and JC's a Christian, but he owes me. I thought, is this judge going to rule for this liar? Week before we're supposed to be in court, Tom traveled up here 3 hours for the court case on Monday morning. He dropped it a week before that. That supposedly Christian guy. Well, I'll just dismiss it. Well, if I really owed him $6,000, why did he not go forward? Because he knew he was lying. But I didn't know if that judge would rule for him or not. Had no clue.
Because we now are in an anti-Christian court system, right? Truth doesn't matter. Truth has become relative.
Post-truth.
Right? Post-truth, right, yeah. So the judge gets to determine truth now. No longer the Bible is the foundation. Bible, Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations are destroyed. Hey, Jeff, what can we do? Can we try to rebuild them from the ground up? Do we go and change them at the President of the United States? Is that where the change, or do we report at the foundation and try to somehow, I think of my grandchildren. What kind of foundation, Psalm 11:3, what kind of foundation are my grandkids standing on as opposed to the rest of the culture? And who's going to win that battle? To me, it motivates me every day.
You got to fight locally.
Got to fight locally. And it ain't Trump, it ain't Republicans, it ain't Democrats, it ain't any of that stuff, right, folks? It's not. That's a captured system. Gino.
Yes. I was just thinking about this authority part. You know, our church keeps telling us we have to obey the authority by Romans 13.
Right.
And we're always thinking that those who are in office up there is our authority. No, we are the authority. We the people. And we're not taught that. We think we have to obey somebody that we put in office up there. And we, the people, are the authority. That's something.
Gino, we're not taught that Christ is the authority. God is the ultimate authority. Well, right?
I agree with that, but God created us, and we were here. And the Constitution was put forth for our country for those people who are elected to obey. So people are the authority.
In 1947. I did, but it was just because I was concerned. When I threw the trash out, your back door was open.
Michelle, I unlocked. Michelle's at work. Gotcha, Gina. But in 1947, when they ruled that there was a separation between the church and state, Christian morality went out the door. That's what happened to us. And we're just reaping that. Jack.
Yeah, Coach, as usual, you're right. But it goes even deeper. They change the meaning of the word judge. You see, we have a misconception of the word judge. Even it's not just the courts. The whole thing has been perverted because the judge is only supposed to be the the moderator. He's not supposed to rule. Judges only moderate. In Maine, the law says that a judge, the requirement for a judge, that he must be learned in the law. Not a lawyer, not controlled by the Bar Association, learned in the law. We don't even know that.
And Jack, and it was the Christian law at one point. It was.
Yes.
Randy.
So, Coach, what is our dilemma here? If we know, according to Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 6, if we know that we have the authority to bring, to take down strongholds, is what Paul taught us. By doing that, Coach, it says in verse 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. He's saying, what he's saying is, he's telling, you know, this isn't a natural war. This is a spiritual war going on. And he says, and you can pull down strongholds, take everything to the authority of Christ. And he says, then go be obedient. And when you're obedient, when you do what God's asking you to do, which is tear down the strongholds, we're talking about the judicial system here, Coach, the courts. When we go do that, what do? We are bringing judgment on them. Because we're being obedient. We're tearing down the stronghold. So Paul says that when we do this, Coach, their disobedience is comes under judgment. And this is what our goal is, Coach. This is where we should be right now. The church should be doing this. They should have been doing this 40 years ago. We have the authority in Christ to go to all these institutions that are doing unrighteous, ungodly things, and go stand there and tear down the strongholds by the Spirit, in the Spirit, with decrees and declarations and the spiritual warfare. We have the ability to do that. Why do we not do it? I don't understand.
So, Joe, this might be kind of foreign because I know you don't think this way. What's your response to what you're hearing?
Yeah, really, I am so removed from this. It would be ignorant of me to make a comment, but I'm glad to be here being educated this morning. Thank you for your input.
Yeah, because again, right? It's, folks, it's a multicolored flag, isn't it? I mean, really, there's a lot of trails, bunny trails that you can run down. Are we at the bottom, at the very basis of the whole thing, is are we the salt of the earth? And what does that mean? What does it mean to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? To me, that seems like maybe it's going to be some conflict. And for the most part, I think the church has avoided this conflict. The entire book of Acts tells us about people who laid down their lives. They lost their heads. They were kind of sewn asunder. They were, I mean, right? For the advancement of the kingdom. Are we not to advance it anymore? To me, that's where our eyes come down on it. Come on in, Kevin.
All right. So I want to go back to what Gene was saying. So he's making a very good point about, you know, we the people, and the authority is supposed to lie with we the people. Well, as you like to say, change the words, change the world. Okay. So when did we start calling our public servants leaders? Mm-hmm. We need strong leadership in Congress. We need strong leadership in government. We need a president that can lead our. No, we're supposed to be leading. They're supposed to be serving and doing what we tell them to do. So we've, in a sense, given up our leadership and given it to these people by simply not even looking at them as public servants.
Amen. Speaking of that, Kevin, I don't know if you guys saw this. I should have brought it up there. Yesterday, they confirmed in Georgia that hundreds of thousands of ballots were illegal. They confirmed it yesterday. The guys signed with investigating it. Hundreds of thousands of ballots were not legit. Some of them run over and over and over in Georgia. They have evidence of it now, see. But see, here's where America is. That's 4 years ago. Coach, don't worry, that's 4 years ago, right? That's kind of where we live. We don't understand that when the breach in the wall occurs, if we don't stop that breach immediately, that crack widens. And we are to the point now where it's a big crack and we don't know what the heck we're supposed to do about it. Roger Weaver, come on in, Roger, then Gino.
Well, remember, he won Georgia by 11,000 votes. had Trump won Georgia, he'd be the president.
That's right. That's
but also, but also remember, had this not played out this way, all of this would, that we're seeing and hearing now would not have been revealed. So, you know, we have 4 years of a lot of stuff being revealed that we might not have ever seen.
That's right.
Had
That's
he won. The only other thing I'd add real quick is we need to remember, I think there's like 132 nations or maybe 142 or whatever. We tend to think that Christianity revolves around America.
Yeah.
When the reality is we're just one of many nations that come under Christ mm-hmm. and the cross. And but we have a tendency to think we're kind of in we're the foundation of everything. And it's just not true. He's Lord of the world, King of King of the world, and we're just one little nation.
Well, Roger, we used to believe that when you're born in America, you're a Christian. You're born here, you're Christian. And obviously over the multiculturalism, we see that certainly isn't true. Gino.
Yes, I like what Jack was saying about judges that have changed. We don't have any judges anymore. They're all called magistrates, which makes them administrate.
Yep.
It's handling the money that they're making.
Love of money is the root of all evil. Trent, come on in.
Yeah, Coach. You said we're multifaceted, and I believe that, and I see that, and I know that. That is and can be a good thing, but you know, the Bible is one and God is one, and I know, you know, what he puts on your heart, you know, you should do. But it's just like those votes in Georgia. The church should be unified across the whole country in the foundational beliefs, you know, that wrong is wrong, and they found that out. No matter who it was, if it was stolen for Trump or Biden or whoever, they should stand up and proclaim against it. You know what I mean?
Okay, but Trent, that becomes a matter of restitution. By the way, real quickly, Spencer, Google that what I just said about ballots in Georgia. See if you can't find that. Restitution. What is restitution? Well, when somebody finds out something's been done wrong to them, there's repayment to it, right? Is there any restitution anymore? So they find out that they cheated on the ballot. Georgia election, there it was. Georgia audit confirms Trump victory. Right there it is. Georgia Secretary of State confirms Trump won Georgia. Now, how do we make this right? How do we make this right? What about the millions of people who were financially destroyed by COVID? And those COVID regulations that were all bogus, we know. See, this is what we're dealing with. And if we lose sight of the fact that it's the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, it's all about the advancement of a kingdom. If we lose sight of that, then we miss out. If we think it's just politics, Republican, Democrat, then we're never going to understand what this battle is. Georgia audit confirms Trump victory. Missing 2020 poll tallies in Georgia don't prove. They don't even have records for these things. Come on in, Trent. Oh, you just came in. Rochelle.
Thank you, Coach. Two things real quick. So one thing, I think Roger made me think of this. Other nations look at America because we have a constitution that recognizes that we're not asking another man for our rights. The fact that we exist means we have rights from our creator, and we're using our government to protect the rights that God gave us. That's why we are so different, and the other countries look to America. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be free people. We're not right now. I don't feel like we're free people, but this shouldn't be a surprise, because I would like to go back to what your brother was saying, Coach, just for a minute about the woman in Revelation 12. And when you get down to the end of Revelation 12:17, then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who kept God's commandments and held fast their testimony about Jesus. So it is not a surprise that the devil is after us, no matter what nation we're in, but our rights still come from God, and we still have to let that be known. And that gives us a choice.
Amen. So Joe, you're hearing probably foreign language here, right?
I don't normally trade in this kind of thoughts.
That's right. But it's okay, right? Yeah. This is what we do here because this is...
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
We believe that America is the supposed to be the shining city set on a hill, right? And take the gospel to the world. And the gospel we're taking to the world isn't even the gospel anymore, not really. And we're certainly not operating as a Christian nation, that we all one nation under God, all that. None of that stuff's going on. And because it's a spiritual battle, they're after the children, right? They're after the children. It'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck, be thrown in the deepest part of the ocean, and mislead one of these little ones. And so we see here that they're after the next generation, if they capture the next generation. And we believe that when they capture the next generation, they capture the world. People say Israel, Jerusalem. We think America's pretty important in it. Janine, come on.
We were given a warning back in, and your brother was talking about this yesterday, Matthew 24. The word deceive, there's three things in that Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 4. First, it was, don't be deceived. He's talking about the Jews. Then he says, many will come in my name. That's another group. Then there's going to be a great falling away. Well, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 says, because of the man of sin, they won't endure sound doctrine. Mm-hmm. We only have one person that really represents that, and that's the Pope. And he's called the son of perdition, showing he is God. And really, I don't know why anybody can't see it, because he's the only one that says he can forgive sins. Well, hello, God is the only one who can forgive sins, Christ. Then in Matthew 7, it says, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, that is our duty. That is our duty. That is sound doctrine. Now, you can have doctrine of somebody else. There's many kinds of doctrines, but sound doctrine is only founded in truth, free from error, like in 2 Timothy 1. It's correct and right doctrine. And doctrine, he talks all through like Titus and 2 Timothy, principles or truths that are taught only by Christ and his apostles. The Catholics, and there's a verse that says they're forbidding to marry and forbidding meat. Hello, Christ ate meat, and forbidding to marry, only the Catholics tell you to do that unless you do it on your own. And meat really in spiritual is the word, because most Catholics don't even know anything about the Bible. I mean, you've said that on your show. And then there's also talking about itching ears, fables. People love to hear what they want to hear. So yeah. Then you talked about the faith of Abraham, or the Abraham seed. Well, in the Middle East, they have, they are part of Abraham's seed, but that's not the seed that shows who Christ is. It's the faith, the ones that were counted righteousness. And that's what Abraham had the faith of God, and he obeyed whatever he said. Now, when I was growing up, because I am of Middle Eastern descent, I had many, 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 many people come through our house from the Middle East. And I can tell you, Jew, Gentile, from Israel, from Lebanon, all the Middle Eastern countries came through. They did not have a problem. Now they have a problem because we have given up America has given up our first love. We are a city that was set to be the gospel, but we have such dispensational crap that we're putting out to other countries, and we're molding other countries at the will of the Pope.
Okay, so that's a big question.
It's the call, and it's not against the Catholic people. It's against that system.
Of course, of course. What's the perspective of Christianity in the Middle East?
I don't feel qualified to address that.
Well, if you go in the Middle East, you will find Muslims on one corner. You also find Catholic Church on another opposite corner, many, because they believe in the same thing. In fact, if you go, I can't remember if it's the Dome of the Rock or one other mosque that has supposedly the head of John the Baptist. So there's such similarities that the facets just connect. And therefore, and then in America, hello, what are we doing? We're doing the same thing as far as worship. We're not worshiping in spirit and in truth, but that's what the consequences that we're suffering right now in this mm-hmm. country.
So because it was invasion rather than, I'm sorry, it was not invasion, but somebody help me. I can't even remember what word it was.
Infiltration.
Thank you. Infiltration. That's how we end up with, again, 10,000 people, 30,000 members of a church. So, Joe, we got five minutes here. From your perspective, you could be sitting there right now saying,
"Well, we know
this is crazy stuff. Why are you guys even worrying about that? That could be what you're thinking, right?"
No, it isn't. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming soon, and soon for me is probably 20 years, and the Lord will have come back because my life will have ended. But His actual coming, no one knows the day or the hour, but we know the Lord is near, and America and all the nations of the earth will find their rightful place. And we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All the wicked men, all the good people are going to have a reckoning before the real magistrate. And my goal in life is first of all, be right with God and right with men in my conduct, my thought, my behavior. And I just don't operate in the realm that we're talking here this morning.
That's right.
It's fascinating. It's wonderful. I'm happy to be online with you. I remember this when I go home, but it's just not what I do. So I feel awkward other than saying I love the Lord Jesus. I'm so glad I became a believer years ago. And I do pray that the kingdom of God on the earth will be manifested through the revived church. That the church is the house of the living God. The Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. So somewhere out there, the church is being built. Why? Because the Lord said it. And I like to find that place and give my life to that. There's a kingdom coming that I'm putting all my chips into that one.
Amen.
I think this world is going down in flames. And I'm glad that you, dear people, are concerned, exercised, and banding together. But the Lord is coming. And in that day, we'll find out who are the sheep, who are the goats, and who are the sons of God.
Well said, Judah.
Yeah, I think it's really good. Obviously, everyone has their own lane and gifts of
well
the Spirit.
Well said, own lane. Yep.
And the gifts of the Spirit. You know, as we call out things like, people don't realize that Franklin Graham, the amount of outreach that he has, and to realize that from his pulpit, he promoted and told people to get the COVID vaccines. That alone, that message, amplified so largely. And you got to understand, what is the root of that? That's the problems that most people aren't able to stand, the root of the infiltration and the level of infiltration that these guys come from. You know, we look right now, in the next coming weeks, we're about to see this spectacular show. And this spectacular show, what is this? You know, right now we're looking at, July 11th, July 18th, you know, all these things happening, a great reveal. What's happening? You know, if you look at Congress, you know, there's a group of people who say they're going to put Donald Trump in jail still. But if you look at it, you look at Congress, what are their acting powers still? We look at their acting powers. When you look at, you know, 535 members. What group or body or party do they actually belong to? Spencer, can you bring this up? I think this is key for people to be able to see because so many people are punching at an enemy. They don't even know who the enemy is. And once you identify on offense who the defense is, you can actually start plugging away at this. But right now, the Congress, you know, the Speaker of the House, is a captured operation. You got 220 other people potentially who are a captured operation. And so if you go into this, this is really unique. These people.
30 seconds, Judd, 30 seconds.
About to bring this up. His name's Don Bacon. Don Bacon is a U.S. representative. United States Air Force, right? He has the ability. He's supposed to be a Republican, right? He's going to be one of the people to vote out Donald Trump from being able to take office in terms of being on the Republican ticket. Why do I say that? Type in Don Bacon Freemasonry. Good images.
So, hang on, Judd. We just left those other two platforms. So, boom. I'll let you go. I'll let you continue, Judd. Thanks for joining us, folks. See you tomorrow.
Just type in